السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. واجز اللهم عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله يا رب العالمين. We continue inshallah on our study of the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, the difficult years, the 5 years of turbulation that this ummah lived at that time, very hard time for the in the Muslim history, and the results of that turbulation is still subhanallah present today. And with that fitna, with that turbulation, the ummah has been divided into Shia, into Sunna, into Khawarij, into Ibadiyya, into many different sects. We will see inshallah our goals of this study is to see how that happened, how that transpired, and the position of the scholars of Islam in regard to the events of this fitna. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْفِتَنِ جَمِيعُهَا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ. We know that the whole fitna started with the murder of Uthman bin Affan, who was killed on the 18th of Dhul-Hijjah on the 35th year after Hijrah. And in his house, we know the rebels jumped into the house and killed him and injured his wife Naila. And one of the brothers brought to my attention that it was mentioned in one of the sessions that his wife was killed. Definitely she was not killed during that tragic event, but she was injured and her fingers were cut. 5 days later, Ali was given the bay'ah under extreme pressure from the rebels and from the Sahaba in Medina, as this ummah was left without a leader and very turbulent, very difficult time, and in a lot of chaos and turmoil. And Ali accepted the bay'ah. Some of the Sahaba did not give the bay'ah at all, and they reserved their bay'ah till things are more settled in the Muslim ummah, because al-Madinah was controlled by the rebels. Some of the Sahaba were forced to give the bay'ah to Ali ibn Abi Talib, like Az-Zubayr and Talha, and they had a conditional bay'ah that the murderers of Uthman will be punished, and that was their condition. There was difference between the priorities of what should happen next between Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu and a group of the Sahaba, mainly led by Zubair ibn al-Awwam and Talha ibn Ubaidillah. May Allah be pleased with all of them. And to just look at the political situation again, and just in a quick review, the rebels came from Al-Amsar, from mostly Al-Iraq and Misr. Al-Iraq was two bases basically, the Basra and Al-Kufa, two new cities that are established by Arab tribes, Arab clans that are settled into these areas that used to be aligned to Persia. Al-Sham was under the good control, the stronghold of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, who's been there for 20 years, so no rebellion was against Uthman ibn Affan was in al-Sham. The Misr or Egypt, there was some rebel against Abdullah ibn Abi Sarah and against Uthman ibn Affan. So the rebels came to Al-Madinah at the time of Hajj. Most of the people were in Mecca to protect, that used to protect Al-Madinah. And again, there was no good military base in Medina to begin with. Most of the Muslim army is all settled way out there in the borders, defending the Muslims against the Byzantine danger and expanding the Muslim conquest against the Persian territory. The Medina became under the control of the rebels, and Ali wanted to restore order. And to restore order first in Al-Ansar. Al-Ansar, there was problems against the governors, the wulat of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and now he wants to things to settle down. So the first thing that Ali ibn Abi Talib did is he appointed new governors everywhere. All the old governors of Uthman ibn Affan were to be replaced by new governors. And in that opinion, Abdullah ibn Abbas disagreed with Ali, said, you are replacing those governors before they pledge allegiance to your government, so you may have problems with that. However, Ali ibn Abi Talib sent Uthman ibn Hunayf to Al-Basra, and most of the events that we will talk about today are involved this, with this man, Uthman ibn Hunayf. And he sent, he did not change the wali of Kufa, because Abu Musa al-Ash'ari took the bay'ah, took the pledge to Ali immediately before he replaced him, or before he had any correspondence with Ali ibn Abi Talib. Abu Musa is one of the people that did not like the fitna and very aware of the turbulence and the turbulent times that are coming to this ummah. And the other wali that he sent to Misr was one of the great Sahaba, Qais ibn Sa'd ibn Ubadah. May Allah be pleased with both of them. One of the great Ansars. He was the Hamil al-Raya. He was the holder of the banner to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of Fatih Mecca. And he sent them to Egypt. In Egypt, two things happened. Some people agreed with Ali ibn Abi Talib, and they pledged allegiance to him and obedience to his governor, Qais bin Sa'd. However, a group did not want to do that. And they made i'tizal. They stood on the line. They stood aside in a place called Kharabta. And we will see about them later on, because they play a role in this fitna. Sahil bin Hunayf was sent to Asham to replace Muawiyah. And he was sent back from the area of Tabuk, and Muawiyah declared no allegiance and no obedience to Ali ibn Abi Talib until the blood of Uthman has been retaliated for. And in that, there was a story that we mentioned, is Naila bint al-Farafisa, the wife of Uthman ibn Affan, had sent the shirt, the garment of Uthman ibn Affan with the blood on it, along with her fingers, to Ali, to Muawiyah, and she told him that you are Wali al-Dam. You are the one responsible for this blood. You are the one that is responsible for bringing those murderers to justice. Ali ibn Abi Talib, and it is as narrated in the books of history, he came to Naila, and he asked her, who killed Uthman? She said, I don't know. Who were the actual murderers? This is in one narration, and I will say the other one, inshallah. She said, دَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ رِجَالٌ أَعْرِفُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ أَرَى وُجُوهَهُمْ. She said, I would not know them until I see their faces. Now, they were in Medina, about 2,000 of them. 2,000 rebels in Al-Medina. And then she said, who was with them? She said, Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr was with them. So he brought Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. And he said, what happened? And Muhammad said, Wallahi, قَدْ دَخَلْتُ عَلَيْهِ فَذَكَرَ لِي أَبِي فَقُمْتُ عَنْهُ وَأَنَا تَائِبٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. He said, I entered to his presence. I came to Uthman, and he mentioned my father to me. We remember how he was shaking the beard of Uthman ibn Affan, and he said, your father used to honor this beard. And he said, فَقُمْتُ عَنْهُ وَأَنَا تَائِبٌ. I left him and I am repentant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is I did not to harm him. Wallahi ma qataltuhu wa la amsaktu. I did not kill him and I did not hold him for others to kill him. I did not help in his murder. So so Ali goes to Naila and asks her, is that true? Is what Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr saying is true? And she said, Sadaq. Yes, he is true. He is correct. He did not help them, but he was one of the rebels. The people of Muawiyah and some of the Sahaba want everyone that had anything to do with the rebellion against Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu to be killed for the blood of Uthman. They're all partners in crime for the murder of Uthman ibn Affan. Ali ibn Abi Talib did not see that. Ali ibn Abi Talib knows he was a qadi, he was a judge. He was a judge for Abu Bakr, and he was a judge for Umar, and he was a judge for Uthman. And he is one of the most learned people in this ummah about the trials and the criminal justice law of Islam. And he disagreed with the notion that everyone needs to be killed, because some of these people came merely to oppose and show opposition to Uthman ibn Affan. And some of them did not know about the plans and the plot to kill him. Some of them knew. And he wanted to get things settled in this ummah first, and then have true judgment, true trials, and through investigation to see who's responsible and who's not. He did not want to kill en masse. He didn't kill everybody for the blood of Uthman ibn Affan. So that was the beginning of the khilaf, the beginning of the disagreement between al-Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And for that, we said how Talha ibn Ubaidullah and Zubayr ibn al-Awwam left Medina to Mecca asking Ali ibn Abi Talib permission for Umrah, and he said, "Mal Umrah tu turidan? You don't want to go Umrah, but go ahead." And they went to Mecca where Aisha radiallahu anha was, and they were all calling for the punishment of the killers of Uthman ibn Affan. And they said, "How can we start? Where do we start? Where do we go?" They felt like Ali is himself is under siege in Medina with the rebels. So what do they do? And there were many opinions to go to Al-Amsar, because the trouble started out there, started in the territories. So the opinion of Abdullah ibn Abi Sarah was one thing, and then Abdullah ibn Amir, who was an emir over Basra at the time of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, said, "Why don't we go to Al-Basra? Because in Al-Basra I have supporters, and we can have a base there, we can retaliate against those who killed Uthman in Al-Basra, and then we will have a base to bring the killers to punishment from the rest of this Ansar." The army of Mecca was formed, and it was about 10,000 strong. And it was funded by money coming from Al-Yemen, from Ya'li ibn Umayyah, who was the governor of Al-Yemen, by Uthman ibn Affan. And this army head to Al-Basra. At that time, Ali ibn Abi Talib, whose most concern was to restore order, to restore the Khilafah, to restore the unity of this Ummah, which is much more important than anything else. To him was the division of the Muslim Ummah greater than the blood of Uthman ibn Affan, because that endangers the entire Muslim Ummah of being weak, and the religion that is very young to be under attack. So he was heading to Al-Sham to discuss and to convince, and if not, to force Muawiyah to join, so to speak, the union, to join the Muslim Ummah. At the same time, he heard that Talha and Az-Zubair, along with Aisha, were leading an army towards Al-Basra. So he changed his course, and he wanted to grasp this, to catch this army before they got there. Why Aisha was with this army is what many historians have talked about and discussed, and it's very important to understand that Aisha is Umm al-Mu'mineen. Aisha, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. The wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the mothers of the believers. And they were looked at as such in that society, as really the mothers of the believers. And what Aisha, the people that were convincing Aisha to go to Al-Basra, as it is well written in the books of history, and I'm quoting, that they came to Aisha and they said, "Ya Umm al-Mu'mineen, da'i al-Madina, fa'inna ma'ana man la yuqrinuna tilka al-ghawgha' allati biha." O mother of the believers, leave al-Madina. She was going back to her home in al-Madina with the rest of Ummahad al-Muslimin, the mothers of Mu'mineen. Said, leave al-Madina, because the people of al-Madina are al-ghawgha'. They are the agitators, they are the rebels, they are the laymen that are bringing the ignorance to this Ummah. And come with us. فَإِنَّا نَأْتِي بَلَدًا مُضَيَّعًا وَسَيَحْتَجُّونَ عَلَيْنَا فِي بَيْعَةِ عَلِي فَتُنْهِضِيهِمْ كَمَا أَنْهَضْتِ أَهْلَ مَكَّةِ. They said, you will go to Basra. And Basra is misled by this call of Ali, of calm, because their call is to really to retaliate for the blood of Uthman. And she called to bring those people, those rebels, back to order and to retaliate against the blood of Uthman. He said, you have the same call. ثُمَّ تَقْعُدِينَ. And then you stay there in Basra. فَإِنْ أَصْلَحَ اللَّهُ الْأَمْرَ كَانَ الَّذِي تُرِيدِينَ. This is the real deal when you hear this quote. They said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put peace back into the Muslim Ummah, then that's what you want. Because that's what she really wanted. This is why she left. This is why she went with the army. Because who's going to fight his mother? Who's going to go against an army that his mother is in? And she had the influence to put calm and to put order in the hearts of those people that are boiling. So she wanted al-islah. And this quote will be repeated over and over again. So those who will say, especially some of the people that want to attack the reputation that is above reproach of Aisha radiallahu anha, they will say she went there because she hated Ali. or she went there because she wanted to retire. That is completely not true. She did not go to Al-Madinah because Al-Madinah is filled with rebels, and she thought that by her presence, then justice can be performed against the murderers of Uthman, and then calm can be restored in the Muslim Ummah. So every one of these Sahaba, Zubair ibn al-Awwam, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, they made ijtihad. They made a judgment in this, and how to deal with this. And we know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that those who make a judgment, and with good intention, and we don't doubt the intention of these great Sahaba, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world and he was pleased with them. If they made the mistake, then they will have a reward, and if they were right, they will have two rewards. So Ali made an ijtihad that no, first we should restore calm and restore order in this ummah. They made ijtihad that justice has to prevail first, and the murderers of Uthman have to be brought to justice. So the Mecca army got closer to Al-Basra than Ali was. And Ali settled in a place called Dhiqar. And this is a place that we know about from where Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas settled in his conquest of Al-Iraq and Persia. And there was a place that a great battle before Islam, before conquest of, it's at the time of Jahiliyyah that happened between Arabs and Persians. But it's between Al-Basra and Al-Kufa, and it's closer to Al-Kufa than it is to Al-Basra. But the Mecca army was right at the outskirts of Al-Basra. When they came there, who was there in Al-Basra? In Al-Basra there was Uthman ibn Hunayf. Now Uthman ibn Hunayf is wali of Ali ibn Abi Talib. So Uthman ibn Hunayf said, "Where are you? Who are you, and what do you want? This is an army that is not sent by Ali ibn Abi Talib, and they're coming to Al-Basra." So he didn't know if they want harm to the people of Al-Basra. What is the story of this army? So he sent two people to speak to Zubayr ibn al-Awwam and Talha ibn Ubaidillah. And his messengers were Umrah ibn Husayn and Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali. Two very famous people, especially Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali. He was a scientist. He was actually not a scientist. He's a scholar of religion and scholar of grammar, of Arabic literature. So they send him to, they send these people to the army of Mecca to see what's going on. And so they came to Aisha, radiyallahu anha. And they said, why are you coming, our mother? She said, إِنَّ الْغَوْغَاءَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَمْصَارِ وَنُزَّاءَ أَهْلِ الْقَبَائِلِ غَزَوْا حَرَمَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأَحْدَثُ فِيهِ الْأَحْدَاثِ وَأَوْ فِيهِ الْمُحْدَثِينَ وَاسْتَوْجَبُ فِيهِ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ وَلَعْنَةَ رَسُولِهِ مَعَ مَا نَالُوا مِنْ قَتْلِ إِمَامِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بِلَا تِرَةٍ وَلَا عُذْرٍ فاستحلوا الدم الحرام فسفكوه وانتهبوا المال الحرام وأحلوا البلد الحرام والشهر الحرام ومزقوا الأعراض والجلود وأقاموا في دار قوم كانوا كارهين لمقامهم ضارين مضرين غير نافعين ولا متقين لا يقدرون على امتناع ولا يأمنون. She said, I came to you because what happened, because those agitators, those rebels, they are deserving of the wrath of Allah and the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet after they killed Imam al-Muslimin. They killed the leader of the Muslim Ummah without a sin, without a reason, without a blood. So they basically invaded the sanctity of the Balad al-Haram, of the sanctuary of al-Madinah. And the blood that is sacred by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they killed Uthman ibn Affan. And then the money that they robbed out of the people of Medina. And now they are settled in Medina, and that was true. And though people of Medina hate their presence, so they are occupiers of Al-Medina. And they said they are darina mudarreen, they are harmful and they have no good intentions. فَخَرَجْتُ فِي الْمُسْلِمِينَ. So I came out with the Muslims. أُعْلِمُهُمْ بِمَا أَتَى هَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ, to make the people understand what these people do, what these rebels did. وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُمْ أَنْ يَأْتُوا فِي إِصْلَاحِ هَذَا, and what people should do to rectify this situation. And then she recited, وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّن نَجْوَاهُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس. She said, there is no good in many of the things they do. This is a verse from Surah An-Nisa 114. Except people who order بصدقه, charity, أو معروف, or a good deed, أو إصلاح بين الناس, or to rectify and spread peace among people. So she said, this is what I came for. ننهد في الإصلاح ممن أمر الله عز وجل. We go up to إصلاح. إصلاح is again spreading peace and rectify the wrong. الصغيرة والكبيرة والذكر والأنثى. He said everybody is responsible to rectify this wrong that happened to Uthman ibn Affan. فهذا شأننا إلى معروف نأمركم به ونحضكم عليه. This is our, we are ordering معروف. We are making الأمر بالمعروف ومنكر ننهاكم عنه ونحثكم على تغييره. And we will ask you to change the wrong that happened to this ummah. So that's the position of Aisha radiallahu anha. And if you hear this quote and you hear this, you understand how Aisha radiallahu anha wanted nothing but good. Good for both parties. Good for all Muslims. And she went with Talha and Zubair ibn al-Awwam, knowing that they are the only ones that have no influence of the rebels against them. So they asked Talha, what brought you? He said, Al-Mutalabatu bidami Uthman. I came to retaliate for the against the killers of Uthman. They said, Alam tubayi Aliyan? Didn't you give the pledge to Ali? Isn't Ali the Emir? Isn't Ali in charge? He said, Bala, walujju ala unuqi. Yes, I gave him my pledge, but I had a sword on my neck. Meaning that I gave him my pledge, forced to do that. Wama astaqilu Aliyan. In huwa lam yahul baynana wa bayna qatalati Uthman. And he said, but my bay'ah is valid. And I will not ask Ali to step down. He said, my heart is still accept Ali as a leader, as a khalifa. وَمَا أَسْتَقِيلُ عَلِيًّا. And that means I won't ask him to resign. If he did not prevent us from retaliating against the killers of Uthman ibn Affan. And Zubayr said the exact same thing. Uthman ibn Hunayf said, well, they have no authority from Ali. They have no authority from Amir al-Mu'mineen, and they came, whatever the reason they came for, he said, you will not come into Al-Basra. So he went and talked to the people of Al-Basra, and he said, أيها الناس, إنما بايعتم الله. When you gave your pledge to Ali, you gave your pledge to Allah. يد الله فوق أيديكم. The hand of Allah is over your hands. So your obedience is not to these people, no matter how good of intentions they have, no matter how noble, how high of a goal, but you have a pledge to one man to lead you. That is Ali ibn Abi Talib. فَمَنْ نَكَثَ فَإِنَّمَا يَنْكُثُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِمَا عَاهَدَ عَلَيْهِ اللَّهِ فَسَيُؤْتِيهِ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. He said that then your pledge is with Allah, and who cuts this short, who does not fulfill this pledge, then he's doing it with Allah. And those who do it, who fulfill their pledge, then they are fulfilling that pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, these people also that outs there, al-Rajulan, he said, he means al-Zubayr and Talha gave the pledge to Ali ibn Abi Talib, and they should obey the orders of Ali ibn Abi Talib. The people of Al-Basra split among themselves. Now these people of the army of Mecca is making sense. And Uthman ibn Hunayf also, I mean, they both have good points of view about what should happen. So people of Al-Basra split among themselves. Uthman ibn Hunayf told the people of Basra, well, we have to all obey Ali because we gave him the pledge. And these people gave them the pledge. So when they asked Az-Zubair and Talha, did you actually pledge to Ali? They said, Mukrahin, no, we were forced. And then the discussion took a different course. Were they forced or were they not forced? And then Uthman ibn Hunayf decided to have an agreement with them, so there would be no fighting in Al-Basra. And he said that if those people were forced to give the bay'ah to Ali, and they're truly saying what they're saying, that the rebels forced them and the rebels have all the power in Medina, then we will follow them. But if they gave that pledge without force, if they gave it voluntarily, then we will not surrender Al-Basra to them. We should let them, keep them away and out of Al-Basra. So now, the people of Al-Basra are in two groups, and the army of Mecca is outside Basra and is prevented from entering to Al-Basra. In Al-Basra, the people that were most supportive of Uthman ibn Hunayf were the rebels, because these, the army of Mecca is coming to kill them, to slaughter them at the very last man. So they were very supportive of Uthman ibn Hunayf and did not want the army of Al-Basra to come in. And along with them were the tribes of these people. Now, this is still a tribal society. And most of the people in that society are new to Islam, and they don't have the understanding and the experience of the Sahaba. And their pledge is still along to their tribes. So if one of the rebels, and we will see that that will play a major role there, one of the rebels is one of the tribe, let's say, of Kinda, then the people will follow that man, regardless of where what position he takes. So, a man came to Uthman ibn Hunayf, and his name was Hukaym ibn Jabalah. And Hukaym was one of the rebels, and he was one of the plotters, and he was one of the killers of Uthman ibn Affan, in a way that he didn't kill him himself, but he was one of the people that made sure that they will not leave Medina and Uthman is alive. And Hukaym ibn Jabalah was a highwayman, was a common thief. He was a robber. He was basically the one that would do armed robberies, and that was his deal in Jahiliyyah. And after Islam, his manners did not improve much. But he came to Uthman ibn Hunayf, and he offered his sword in defense of Al-Basra. Uthman ibn Hunayf gave orders to his army to stand outside Basra and to not attack the army of Mecca. As Zubayr and Talha gave orders for the army of Mecca not to attack the people of Basra. Now, they both do not really want to kill each other. It's a position where they both want to agree to either go with Ali or retaliate against the murderers of Uthman. But that does not help Hukaym bin Jabalah. So he asked his people, what should we do? They said, عَجِلُوهُمْ, do the fighting fast. Because as long as there are two armies standing in front of each other, once the fighting starts, then there will be some chaos. And that's exactly what Hukaym ibn Jabalah did. And he started fighting the army of Mecca along with his people, and the war started. And there was some fighting outside Al-Basra between the army of Mecca and the army of Uthman ibn Hunayf. And that was in Rabi' al-Thani, in Rabi' al-Akhir of the 36th year of Hijrah. And this was one of the very first skirmishes that started between Muslim against Muslims in this tribulation, subhanAllah. And that was in that month of Rabi' al-Thani. And many people were killed in these skirmishes between the army of Mecca and Uthman ibn Hunayf. And that fighting started and lasted for the entire day, and it ended that Hukaym bin Jabalah was killed. That man that started this fighting was killed, and in his murder, there was a major, also a big story, but we will not go into the details. Anyway, Hukaym was killed, and the armies stand off against in front of each other, and Uthman ibn Hunayf said, I have a solution. I have a deal for you. We will send Qadi al-Basra, the judge of al-Basra, who is very well known and a righteous man. He said, we will send him, and he was Ka'b bin Saw. We send Ka'b bin Sur to Al-Madina. And he will ask the people of Medina, if you gave your pledge to Ali forcefully, forced to do that, then we will stop fighting you. And we will give you Basra, like they talked before. But if you didn't, then you have to go back. So they sat down and they wrote an agreement and a treaty where there will be no fighting and until Ka'b bin Sur comes back. So Ka'b goes to Al-Madina to see what the deal is. And he goes to Al-Madina and he said, Ya Ahl al-Madina, Inni Rasulu Ahli al-Basra ilaykum, A'ukriha ha'ula'i al-Rijal ala bay'ati Ali am atayaha ta'i'in. He started asking people of Medina, and in Medina there is a Sahaba sitting there, and nobody answered him. Nobody would give him an answer. Why? Because the rebels were still there. the rebels will kill anyone that dares to speak of what's going on. And he continues to ask and he will get no answers. And then finally one man stood up, and that man was Hibbu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was Usama ibn Zayd. And Usama ibn Zayd stood up and he said, Wallahi lam yubayi'a illa wahuma karihan. He said, Wallahi, they were forced. And they were forced to be taken, and they were given the pledge to Ali, forced to do that. So the rebels stood up and they wanted to kill Usama bin Zayd. They wanted to kill the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Sahaba stood up around Usama and defend him, and they pulled him out of that place until they got him. And Suhaib al-Rumi, Suhaib bin Sinan, protected him and hid him in his house. This was the situation of Medina, that people cannot even speak, and the Sahabi has to hide when they speak the truth about what happened to Uthman, or what happened to the rest of the Sahaba. So the people that defended Usama was Suhaib, Ar-Rumi, and Abu Ayyub, and Muhammad ibn Maslama. And then they testified that what Usama is saying was true. And the rebels could not come in and kill him. So Ka'b went back, and Ka'b bin Sur went back to Al-Basra and told the people of Al-Basra about what happened. During that time between his trip to go to Al-Basra and come back, Ali ibn Abi Talib heard about this deal, that Uthman ibn Hunayf is cutting a deal with Az-Zubair and Talha, that he will surrender Al-Basra if they were forced to give him the bay'ah. So Ali ibn Abi Talib wrote to Uthman bin Hunayf, and he said, Wallahi ma ukriha ala firqa, walaqad ukriha ala jama'atin wa fadl. He said, if they were forced to give this pledge, they were not forced to give a matter of division. This thing that they did will not divide the Muslim ummah. The bay'ah is to unite the Muslims. فَإِنْ كَانَ يُرِيدَانِ الْخَلْعَ فَلَا عُذْرَ لَهُمَا. They have no excuse if they want to take their pledge back. وَإِنْ يُرِيدَانِ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ نَظَرْنَا وَنَظَرَا. But if they want to discuss and negotiate, then I'm ready to negotiate with them. When Ka'b bin Sur came back, he said, well, what they said is true. So Az-Zubayr and Talha came to Uthman and said, surrender the Basra to us. This is the agreement. You have to surrender the Basra. Uthman said, no, I cannot, because my emir, Ali ibn Abi Talib, told me not to. Now, Uthman ibn Hunayf had no authority to even give this pledge or to write that treaty. Uthman ibn Hunayf works by the orders of Ali ibn Abi Talib. How can he even give a promise to Az-Zubayr or Talha to give them that entire city of Basra without the orders of Ali ibn Abi Talib? He said, Ali said, I have no authority to do that. Well, they said, but you know, a deal is a deal, and a treaty is a treaty. So the fighting started again in Al-Basra, and the army of Uthman ibn Hunayf was defeated. And Az-Zubayr and Talha bin Ubaidullah entered Al-Basra, and Uthman ibn Hunayf was captured, and the people that were with him, the people that captured him were not the Sahaba, were the army, some of the people in the army of Mecca. They brought him and they tortured him. They shaved his head and they shaved his beard, and they brought him beaten up to a Sahaba. And the one who sees him was Aisha. Said, what did you do with this man? Now, this is an honorable Muslim that didn't do anything wrong. And she asked him to let him free and to let him go. So Uthman ibn Hunayf goes to Ali, and Ali tried to just trying to help him and trying to feel sorry. And he said, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَى الْبَصْرَةِ شَيْخًا فَعُدْتَ لَنَا شَابًا. He said, we send you to Al-Basra, you were an old man with a beard, and you came back as a young man without a beard. So he's trying just to make it easy on him what happened to him. But then he told him about the blood that was shed and all the people that were killed defending Al-Basra. And Uthman said, and Ali ibn Abi Talib said, الآنَ يَحِلُّ حَرْبُهُمْ. Now fighting them is halal. Now fighting the people that shed the blood is halal. And then what happened in Al-Basra is the murders, or not the murderers, the rebels against Uthman were gathered. They were all gathered from all the tribes, and there were about 600 people. And they were all killed and executed for the blood of Uthman ibn Affan. Around 600 people, all the people that were in the army of Uthman ibn Hunayf, that were supporting the rebellion against Uthman ibn Affan, they were all slaughtered. The last one of them, except one person. And that one person was Hurqus bin Zuhair al-Sa'di. Hurqus bin Zuhair was from the tribe of Bani Sa'd, a large tribe. Now, Al-Basra is a settlement for many tribes that came from Arabia. So Hurqus bin Zuhair was not captured, and he went to his tribe. The rest of the tribe surrendered the rebels, but the tribe of Hurqus did not, because he was a noble man in his tribe, and said, "Wallahi, we will not let him be, will not let him be executed." And they gathered an army of 6,000 people to fight the army of Mecca again for them not to kill Hurqus bin Zuhair. And at that point, Az-Zubayr and Talha backed down. And they said, "We will let that one person go without more fighting." And that was on the 25th of Rabi' al-Thani, of the 36th year of Hijrah. And in that, the scholars mention this event as an exaggeration of taking revenge or retaliating against a murder. Now, yes, a murderer needs to be killed in retaliation for what they did. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا فَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever was killed, oppressed, and wronged, then we gave the sultan, we gave the power to his wali. So do not exaggerate in killing. And to kill 600 people, that not all of them participated directly in the murder of Uthman ibn Affan, alaykum salam, was noted as by some scholar as an exaggeration of taking the revenge against Uthman ibn Affan. And then the other thing that happened is they did not kill everyone, and some of them escaped, like Hurqus bin Zuhair. So it is not even a full and equal punishment. People that had support from their tribes, like Hurqus bin Zuhair, were not punished. And the people that were surrendered by their tribe, they were punished and killed. So Ali ibn Abi Talib gave this khutbah, and he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَزَّنَا بِالْإِسْلَامِ وَرَفَعَنَا بِهِ وجعلنا به إخوانا بعد ذلة وقلة وتباعد وتباغض وتباغض وتباعد فجر الناس على ذلك ما شاء الله الإسلام دينهم والحق فيهم والكتاب إمامهم. He is reminding people of the story of Islam. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has lifted us with this religion and made us brothers. After we were indignified, we were humiliated, the tribes of Arabia were looked at from the Byzantine Empire and the Persian Empire as basically barbarians, that they just have no rank in this human society other than the servants of these empires. But now they are the dominant force by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by Islam. He said, then al-Islam became our religion and the truth became in us and this book, the Quran, became our leader. Until حتى أصيب هذا الرجل بيد هؤلاء القوم الذين نزغهم الشيطان لينزغ بين هذه الأمة. He said, until that man, meaning Uthman ibn Affan, was killed by those people who were agitated by a shaitan. I mean, Ali in his heart, he knows he is against those murderers and he is calling them awliya al-shaytan. He is calling the people of al-shaytan, the people of Satan. But then he said, this would happen إلا أن هذه الأمة لا بد مفترقة كما افترقت الأمم قبلهم فنعود بالله مما هو كائن. He said this ummah will be divided. How does he know that? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him so. Because it's a prophecy from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's telling them this is what's going on right now. He said إلا أنه لا بد مما هو كائن. إن هذه الأمة ستفترق على 73 فرقة. He said this ummah will be divided into 73 divisions, 73 sets. شرها فرقة تنتحلني ولا تعمل بعملي. He said the worst group of them is a group that claim me but doesn't do what I do, doesn't perform the work that I do. فقد أدركتم ورأيتم فالزموا دينكم واهتدوا بهدي نبيكم واتبعوا سنته. You saw what's going on, you saw what's happening, so adhere to your religion and adhere to the sunnah, to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وارضوا بالله عز وجل ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد النبي وبالقرآن حكيما وإماما. He said then hold on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your Lord, hold on to this book of Quran as your guide, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam way as your way of life. So he wanted, and then he started trying to gather the army in the area of the Qar. Now Ali, when he left Medina, he left it with about 3,000 fighter or less. Talha and Az-Zubair now have over 10,000 from what they gathered in Al-Basra and from the army that they led with them in Al-Basra. So he is the Khalifa, but he doesn't have an army. And they are trying to take the justice into their own hand, and they have a large army and they have a base. The Khalifa does not have a base. Medina is occupied by the rebels, and he is in this camp of Dhiqar with 3,000 people. He needs to have some power. He needs to have some way of restoring the order and restoring the justice. And he cannot do it the way it is. So what he did is he started thinking about his closest ally, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, in Al-Kufa. And he wanted to settle in Al-Kufa and gather the army of Al-Kufa on his side, so he can have some power to restore order to this ummah. So he sent to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari to send an army, or to allow the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib to lead the army of Al-Kufa to restore order in Al-Basra. Because Al-Basra now, although it is under Kibar al-Sahaba, under Talha, and Az-Zubayr and Aisha radiallahu anha is all in there, but still it's not under the orders of Ali. It's not under the ta'a of Ali, not obedient to Ali ibn Abi Talib, to Amir al-Mu'mineen. So he went to send his messenger to Abu Musa. Abu Musa told the people of Al-Kufa, he said, إِنَّهُمَا هُمَا أَمْرَانِ. You have two choices to the people of Kufa. Al-Qu'ud سَبِيلُ الْآخِرَةِ. If you don't go out and fight in this fitna, then you will win the hereafter. والخروج سبيل الدنيا. And if you go out and fight with Ali, then it is for this life. So he is telling the people of Al-Kufa not to fight and not to get involved in this fitna. Because as we said, Abu Musa does not want to get involved in this whole situation. But we will see later on how he really got dragged into this in a big way. But he trying to do anything not to get involved in any fighting among Muslims. He knows these hadith, إِذَا الْتَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بِسَيْفِهِمَا فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ فِي النَّارِ. When two Muslims fight each other, then the killer and the killed are both in the hellfire. But yet, Ali is much more knowledgeable than any of them, and he knows that إِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا. If the two groups of mu'mins, both are believers, they fight against each other, then you have to fight the group that is wrong until they go back to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Musa is trying to tell them not to do it. He said, إِنَّهَا فِتْنَةٌ صَبَّاءٌ. This is a death tribulation. النَّائِمُ فِيهَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْيَقْضَانِ. The sleep is better than the one who's awake. وَالْيَقْضَانُ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْقَاعِدِ. And the awake is better than the one who's sitting. And the sitting is better than the one who's standing. And the one who's standing is better than the one who's fighting. He said, try to be as far away from this tribulation as possible. Then Ali sent him his son, Al-Hasan, Ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, to convince him, to give him some support. So Abu Musa sees Al-Ali, so he gets up from his seat and he hugs Al-Hasan. All the Sahaba loved Al-Hasan for many reasons. Number one, they all remember Al-Hasan sitting in the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They know how he was loved by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second thing, he was the most close of anybody resemblance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anybody that sees the face of Al-Hasan remembers immediately the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he gets up and he hugs Al-Hasan. And he sat with him, and Al-Hasan said, Ya Abu Musa, لِمَا تُثَبِّطَ النَّاسَ عَنَّا. Abu Musa, why are you weakening our position by letting people not support us? فَوَاللَّهِ مَا أَرَدْنَا إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحِ. See the intention of both groups. He said, Wallahi, we want islah. We want the peace. We want to rectify this fitna. وَلَا نِفْلُ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُخَافُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. Are you afraid of Ali to be oppressor or a transgressor? Don't you know Ali? فَقَالَ صَدَقْتَ صَدَقْتَ بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي. Wallahi, you are saying the truth, Ya Hassan. وَلَكِنَّ الْمُسْتَشَارَ مُؤْتَمِنْ. But he said, they asked me for advice, and I have the sincere advice for them, because I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that it will be a fitna. There will be, fitna is a tribulation, and whoever gets in the fitna, this is not the good position to be in. And he said, then Abu Musa said, وَقَدْ جَعَلَنَا اللَّهُ إِخْوَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us all brothers. Who are we going to fight? We're going to fight Az-Zubair? We're going to fight Talha? I mean, how is that possible? And he said, وَحَرَّمَ عَلَيْنَا أَمْوَالَنَا وَدِمَاءَنَا. فَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. And he said, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us not to take each other's money or not to kill each other. Then Al-Qa'qa' ibn Amr. Who's Al-Qa'qa' ibn Amr? We remember from our study of Umar ibn al-Khattab and the Fujuhat. Al-Qa'qa' ibn Amr, one of the Sahaba that was very reliable, alim. He was a scholar and he was a very brave fighter. And he has a lot of wisdom. So he stood up and he was in the camp of Ali. He was with Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. He said, إِنَّ رَأْيَ الْأَمِيرِ هُوَ الرَّأْيِ. What Abu Musa is saying is the right thing. Abu Musa didn't say a word that is wrong. He's saying Muslim cannot kill another Muslim. That's what Abu Musa is saying. He said what he's saying is true. وَلَكِنْ لَوْ وُجِدَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلٌ. But he said it's too late for that. It is too late. There is no way that this can happen anymore. The blood has already been shed. That is the blood of Uthman and the blood of the Sahaba. And the fitna is out there. Should we let the fitna continue? Or should we go out and stop it? He said, yes, what he's saying is true. But it's too late for that. And then he said, لَا بُدَّ مِنْ إِمَامٍ يُنْتَظَمُ بِهِ الْأَمْرِ. There has to be an imam. There has to be a leader in the Muslim ummah. We cannot, Abu Musa has an opinion, and Zubair has an opinion, and a rebel have an opinion, and there is no leader in the Muslim ummah. He said, this cannot happen. We have to have a leadership in this ummah. وَإِنَّ عَلِيًّا قَدْ وَلِيَهُ. And Ali is the imam. He is the imam al-mu'mineen. وَإِنَّ مَا يَدْعُوا إِلَى الْإِصْلَاحِ. And he is calling for islah. Then Al-Hasan stood up again. He said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَجِيبُوا دَعْوَةَ أَمِيرِكُمْ وَسِيرُوا إِلَى إِخْوَانِكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ سَيُوجَدُ لِهَذَا الْأَمْرِ مَنْ يَنْفُرُ إِلَيْهِ وَاللَّهِ لَأَنْ يَنْفُرَ إِلَيْهِ أُولُو النَّهِي أَمْثَلَ فِي الْعَاجِلَةِ وَخَيْرٌ فِي الْعَاقِبَةِ. He said, look, somebody is going to respond to the call of Ali. He's telling them now, who's mostly in the army of Ali? Who is fighting mostly with Ali? The rebels. He said, somebody is going to respond and there will be some fighting. It is better than the righteous people and the people that know right from wrong to be in the camp of Ali than those who don't. He's telling them that we need you. We need good people to be with us. The only reason that Ali has rebels and has camp is because he cannot get rid of them. And they're too powerful and he has no other support. So he said, if you don't join us, then only the bad people will be in the camp of the man who is right. That is Ali ibn Abi Talib. So you have to join the people who is right. And Al-Kufa responded. And Al-Kufa responded with 9,000 fighters. And then more people came in and gathered in Al-Basra, and it was a total of 12,000 people that gathered to support and pledged to Ali ibn Abi Talib. and Ali ibn Abi Talib settles in Al-Kufa, and that was the first time that the Khilafah moves its base from the Medina to another place, which was the Kufa, which became the capital of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Before Ali comes out of Medina, he asks people for support of Medina, and most of the Sahaba we know did not, a lot of them did not support, like Abdullah ibn Umar, Usama ibn Zayd, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. They all made isolation from this fitna, did not want to get involved. And he told them, if you let me get out of Medina, if you let this Khilafah come out of Medina, will not come back to Medina until the last days, the final days of this life, of this earth. And he was true. Once the Khilafah got out of the Medina, it's still not back to Al-Medina. So Al-Khilafah now settles in Al-Kufa that supported Ali ibn Abi Talib. How much time do we have? Okay, I cannot really start a new part because what's going to happen next, now we know the end results of the events, that now we have the two main cities in Iraq that time. Al-Basra and Al-Kufa. Ali is in Al-Kufa and Talha and Al-Zubayr are in Al-Basra. And what Ali wants to do is he moved on and takes his army close to Al-Basra to restore order and in hope that he would gather the people of Al-Basra together. And this is not hopeful or wishful thinking. This is the quotation from Ali ibn Abi Talib to his army before leaving Al-Kufa. He said, after Alhamdulillah wa a'udhu billah, قَدْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ لِتَشْهَدُوا مَعَنَا إِخْوَانَنَا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْبَصْرَةِ I invited you to go witness with us, our brothers in Al-Basra. So he's calling them, not our enemies, not the rebels, he said our brothers. He knows the rank, he knows the station of Al-Zubayr and Talha. فَإِنْ يَرْجِعُوا فَذَاكَ مَا نُرِيدُ If they come back to us, then that's what we want. وَإِنْ يَلُجُّوا But if they insist on their position, دَوَيْنَاهُمْ بِالرِّفْقِ We will cure them with gentleness. We will discuss, we will negotiate with them. وَبَايَنَّاهُمْ And we will negotiate, we will talk, we will show our evidence, our belief, and let them show their evidence. This is what he's going for. حَتَّى يَبْدَأُوا بِظُلْمِ Unless they transgress and oppress us. وَلَنْ نَدَعُ أَمْرَ صَلَاحٍ إِلَّا آثَرْنَاهُ عَلَى مَا فِيهِ الْفَسَادِ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ And we will not leave a matter that there is peace within until we prefer that over any matter of war. So his move to Al-Basra, very clearly, very announced that he is going there for peace and he is going to rectify the situation between him and Zubair and Talha unless there is oppression or aggression from that other group. And in that we will just have to stop and inshallah next time we will continue the events that led and the events of Mawqi'at Al-Jamal, the Battle of Al-Jamal. Next Sunday, I will be out of town, inshallah. So there will be no session unless you have anything planned to do or somebody wants to do something next Sunday after Maghrib. It's open. And inshallah, we'll continue on. I want to stop him. He said, he told the people of Medina, and I'm trying to actually get the exact quote. Yes, here's the quote. He is calling upon people to go out with him, and from that he said, "Wallahi, if you don't go out with me, wallahi la taf'alun aw la yanqulanna 'ankum Allahu 'ankum sultan al-Islam, thumma la yanquluhu ilaykum abadan hatta ya'ruz al-amr ilayha." He said, "If you don't support me and go out with me, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lift the power, the sultan, the power of government from Al-Madinah, and then will not bring it back until yar'az ilayha." Because there is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the end of time, that religion and the power of Islam will move all over, but then it will go back always to Mecca and Al-Madina. So at the end of time, especially at the time of the false Messiah, Masih al-Dajjal, etc. So Ali is telling them that if you don't support my call and what I'm trying to do, then the power will be lifted over from Medina and it will not come back until that time. And Allah knows best. No, he wanted to let the people of Medina go out with him. And very few responded. Very, very few Sahaba responded. And most of his army, most of the people that supported Ali were the rebels. So that actually put Ali in a very difficult position. That he is the one that needs to rectify the situation. But when people look at his army, they see most of the people that weren't killed in his army. So that was part of the reason why there was so many fighting and so many killing at that time. Yes. Why didn't a Sahaba support Ali ibn Abi Talib? I'm just going to say some of the opinions that I read in the books of history, but obviously there are many, many opinions in many books. One of that is many of them did not want to get involved in al-fitna. Did not want to get involved in bloodshed among Muslims. That's one thing. The other thing is they refused to make bay'ah when there is no real freedom in Medina. Medina was controlled by the rebels. There is no dispute about that. And many of the Sahaba, Zubair and Talha, were forced to give their pledge. And they're saying, we accept Ali. But we have conditions. We have to do things. And they could not say anything during the bay'ah. And the bay'ah was taken under fire from many of them. Now some of them voluntarily obviously gave the bay'ah, but some of them refused. And the rebels only were content with these two because they are from Ahl al-Shura. When Umar ibn al-Khattab died, he appointed the six people. And so they wanted the ones that are living of these six to give their bay'ah. And when Zubair and Talha gave the bay'ah, they left everybody alone. So the rest of the Sahaba, many of the Sahaba did not give pledge, like Abdullah bin Umar. And Abdullah bin Umar, until the very final days of his life, he said, "Ma nadimtu ala shay'. I never regretted one thing in my life except not supporting Ali." Because Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma did not support Ali the whole time. He was isolated from the events of Al-Fitna. I think we have to...